Good morning, everyone, and welcome to my living room. Here we are in quarantine, and I'm going to come from my living room to your living room today with a message. It's really hard to believe. Some of you know, and some of you don't know, I have type 1 diabetes. And I'm also, believe it or not, in the older category of high risk. And so let's sit back and enjoy worship from my living room to yours this morning. Well, I also want to put a shout out to the Kaziski camera crew who are making all of this possible today. Well, I hope that you have brunch ready, that you're sitting in some comfortable chairs. We are in for a journey. Today, we cover the whole Bible. If this worries you, just think of how I felt when Matt asked me to preach the whole story today. Well, before we get started on the whole story, we need to pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts gathered be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we did it. We made it through the whole story of the Bible in 32 weeks. We read through this whole book, the story. Now, if you missed a few weeks or came in late to this series, this is your lucky day. For today, we will have our year in review. And don't worry, I do promise to get us out of this sermon on time today. Well, have you seen this meme? During this time of quarantine, people are watching a lot more television and movies. Have you noticed in your watching how many of the stories are about rescue? Lost being found. When I Googled the term rescue movies, the list and on. Well, what movie comes to your mind when you think of a rescue movie? Well, several immediately stand out in mine. But why don't you just take a moment, and you can write in the comment section for everyone to see, what movie of rescue comes to your mind? On the top of my list was the film Taken. Perhaps it's because it's every parent's nightmare. In fact, the movie really is filmed like a nightmare. Liam Neeson stars as the father, who is also a special agent skilled in finding people who disappear and extremely knowledgeable about the worst humanity is capable of doing. His daughter wants to go on a trip to Europe with a friend. They are older teens. And her mom and stepdad think this is a great opportunity and are ready to sign off on the trip. Her father is not. He does not want her to go. He knows everything that could go wrong with girls traveling alone to another. His daughter and her mother put extreme pressure on him to say yes. He relents. They tell him first, though, that he's being unfair and the whole world is not nearly as terrible as the people he encounters in his work. So after relenting, he gives some strict guidelines and many lectures on how to be safe. Well, within moments of her arrival in France, it becomes evident that things will not go well. The daughter's traveling companion throws caution to the wind, and the viewer knows already that the father was right. Within minutes of her arrival at their apartment, intruders that stalk the girls from the moment they get off the plane. Liam's daughter gets under a bed and frantically calls her dad. He gives her some tips, and then she is taken. Gone from the other end of the phone. Lost. At this point in the movie, the father does not throw up his hands and say, "I warned you. You should have listened to me. I was right all along," and then go on his way. No, he drops everything, grabs what he needs to find her, and is on the first plane to France. Of course, the rest of the movie chronicles his quest to find his lost, abducted daughter. And in the end, when the passionate, never-stopping, never-giving-up father embraces his daughter, there is no lecture, no I told you so, just relief and sheer joy at the reunification. This is not a children's movie, but one for adults and parents. But children have movies like this. Remember Finding Nemo from our children's sermon? The never giving up father searches the wide open ocean to find one small clownfish, determined to find him, no matter the cost. Why? Why do we like these movies and stories? But they get told over and over again in many forms. Because at our core, this is our story, the human story, the one we have been reading and learning about this year. It shapes everything we know it, even if we don't recognize God. Before any movies were made or any printed on a press, the original rescue story is God's. He wrote it in the lives and the hearts of people, and we get to know about it in the Bible. God's story is simple. He created us. We learn about that right there in the very beginning. He loves us, and we left him. And he launched the rescue plan immediately without any hesitation. Yet even though this story is simple, it is not simplistic. Have you ever had a set of these? My good shared them with me because I have never had a set. And as a kid, deep down, I probably envied people who did. These are nesting dolls, and they are so fascinating because when you open it up, inside, there's another one. And then when you open the next one that looks the same, there's another. And another until you get all the way in. I'm just going to place these here because now we have one, two, three, and even one more, four. And when I was a kid, I always called the one at the center the baby. The one at the center is the baby. And this doll inside a doll inside a doll reminds me of the Bible. The story of rescue, the lost and found. Because the Bible also has stories within a story of rescue within a story. Let's explore. As we made our way through the story this year, we noticed very early on in the beginning of time that humanity broke its relationship with God, choosing to follow the words of a serpent rather than the Creator. The overarching theme for the rest of the Bible is God's reaching out to rescue people. Last week, we celebrated the end vision which John writes about the recreation of all that puts everything right back to the way it started in the beginning. It's a big circle with rescue complete. Yet, with this overarching theme, there are stories within the story, just like these stacking dolls. Can you think of some stories in the Bible that are about rescue? Go ahead, type them into your chat. Share with others, what other rescue stories can you think of included in the Bible? Well, according to the genealogy in Genesis, about 1,500 years after the fall, God activates a rescue. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5 that every inclination of the thought of their hearts was only evil continually. You know, it's easy to complain during quarantine. I do it. And yet, think of the perspective of living in this time. Can you imagine being a follower of God in the midst where every inclination of every heart is only evil continually? And yet that was the world of Noah, who loved and followed God. In the flood story, we find a rescue planned for all who love and follow God. And really, it was a rescue for the earth. How long would a world last when all the thoughts of the human hearts were only evil continually? In this story, we see God rescuing the world from self-destruction. Once the earth is repopulated following the flood, God calls Abraham to create a great nation which grows and moves and eventually ends up in Egypt during a land of famine. It is in the Joseph narrative we find God rescuing Joseph from death. And after those rescues, Joseph rises to second in command in Egypt during this great famine. And God uses Joseph to rescue lots of people, including his family, the people of Israel. Well, as the people live in Egypt, eventually a Pharaoh comes up that does not know, comes into power, and then the people of God become slaves, as you recall. And God plans another rescue and sends Moses to free the people to take them into a promised land. The land God had told them a long time ago would be there, be theirs. Well, here we have rescue stories within the rescue story. The Red Sea as they leave Egypt and they're pressed up against the waters and Pharaoh is behind them and God makes a way and rescues them by parting the sea. They are in the wilderness. They are without food and water multiple times and God rescues. A plague of serpents comes, poisonous, and God sends a rescue from the poisonous bite. They look to a bronze serpent on a cross. They look to a cross and are saved. And then finally, when they are done in the wilderness, they come up to the Jordan, the mighty Jordan, who at this time the waters have swollen over the bank and running, and there is no way to pass. And God holds back the water. And again, they pass through water into freedom and well, once these people are in the promised land, they fail to follow God's guidance and they worship other gods. God warned them. He told them the best way to live, be careful. But they didn't. And in the whole book of Judges, there is one rescue story after another. They worship other gods. They are enslaved. God raises a judge and they are free over and over again. And then we come to the second king of Israel, David, a man after God's own heart, whom God helps to rescue the people from the Philistines, even David and Goliath. And finally, as the kingdom falls, and most of the people buried off into exile, we still learn of rescues. They stay there for 70 years. And yet during those 70 years away from home, we have other rescue stories within rescue stories. How about brave Esther, who with God's help saves the people of God from extinction? And then there is, of course, Shadrach and Abednego, who are rescued from a fiery furnace when they stand for God and will not bow to another. Then there is their friend, Daniel, who prays only to the one true God, who is rescued from the den of lions. Then there is the prophet Jonah, who runs away from God, and God rescues him in the belly of a great fish. And in this rescue of Jonah is also the rescue of people that are not called God's people yet, the Ninevites, who bow the knee to God in the end. Well, right here, near the middle part end, in the prophets, we come to a parable story with a story foreshadowing another story within a story. That was a lot of stories. Hosea. The prophet Hosea lets us know what will happen to Israel after the exile and what is to come in the New Testament and the heart of God for this whole story. Always been a key story for me. And I think it is a key to understanding the heart of the big story contained in the Bible. Throughout the Bible so far, we have experienced loss and need of rescue over and over and over. It feels chaotic in many ways, and we wonder, when will God wear out? When will God quit rescuing people? I have had enough, is what I felt. Have you felt it in the Old Testament? Enough? While here in the story of Hosea, we get the story that helps us through the slump of repetition. Hosea was called by God to be a prophet just before the fall of Judah, to warn the people to return to God. So Hosea is given some really odd instructions. Hosea is told to marry a prostitute named Gomer. And when she leaves him, Hosea is to search her out and to buy her, bring her back into his home as a wife. Michael Card, a singer-songwriter, has written a song from Gomer's point of view that captures the storyline. Listen. Don't know what he sees in me. He is spirit, he is free. And I, the wife of adultery, Gomer is my name. Simply more than I can see how he keeps forgiving me, how he keeps his sanity. Hosea, you're a fool. A fool to love someone like me. A fool to suffer silently. Though sometimes through your eyes I see, I'd rather be a fool. The fondness of a father, the passion of a child, the tenderness of a loving friend, an understanding smile. All of this and so much more you've lavished on a faithless whore. I've never known love like this before. Hosea, you're a fool. Someone like me, a fool to suffer silently. Yet, sometimes through your eyes I see, I'd rather be a fool. This God of yours would not have told to lift a love that you couldn't hold. And though time and time again I flee, I'm always glad to see you coming after me. Simply more than I. How he keeps on forgiving me, the wife of adultery. Mar is my name. And here we have it. The story of Hosea is lived as the rescue story of God. It lets us know exile will end with rescue. It lets us know how that expectation of a savior will end with rescue. And let us know how the whole upper story in the Bible will end with rescue. Turn with me in your Bible or in your Bible app to Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. And I'll be beginning to read in verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And the more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to the idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up into my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I was the rescuer. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. Verse 8. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adama? How can I treat you like Zebul? Heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. This is the God who shows love like we can never know anywhere else. The one who leads us with core human kindness, with bands of love. Who can give us up? Near the middle of the Bible, we pause to look back and see how God has loved and rescued. And we look forward to the big rescue. The great rescue story within the story starts with Christmas, the birth of God as a tiny baby. This is the fulfillment of the promise that started in Genesis. God dropped everything to save us. This is the one that the prophets foretold. And it ends with Easter. God in the form of Jesus who died into life again. Yet even with this great rescue story at the heart of the Bible, there are stories within that story. People who are possessed by demons are set free. Those who are sick, lame, and blind are healed. The dead are brought back to life. Disciples are rescued from storms at sea. Stories are told about a lost sheep and a good shepherd who will go anywhere and do anything to rescue one lost sheep. And that story ends with celebration over the lost that was found. Following is the story of the lost coin and a woman who looks everywhere for a coin, and when she finds it, she celebrates. Then there is the lost son, for whom a father runs to embrace at his return and reinstates him as family. And a large dinner celebration ensues. These rescue stories within the story are just a taste of the rescue message. John writes in chapter 21 of his gospel, verse 25. This is his very last verse. But there are also other things Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. I remember the first time this verse tripped me up and made me pause. I tried to fathom what that would look like, and I stood amazed at how much I didn't know about Jesus. Yet I felt great relief at how large and capable God is, that in the short lifetime, in his short lifetime, Jesus accomplished more for humans than we could ever read or comprehend. While the idea and reality of God is hard to grasp, and we will never quite wrap our minds around God, God, in the work of the Bible, has made God's heart clear. I have a plan and I will rescue you. And in case you didn't catch it, God says, I will live my plan out in a people and continually rescue them. And in the middle of that rescue, I'll even rescue other people who will be part of mine also. And by the way, my son will live as one of you and pay the price, the cost that it takes to do this rescue plan too. And in that life, he will tell you stories to hang your hat on about rescue. And finally, in Revelation, God says, I will tell you what that final rescue will look like. It will look like victory, like celebration, like the beginning. But this time with no more need rescue. In the Bible, God reveals his heart over and over and over again. In literature, when a theme occurs within a theme over and over, that's important. And so it is in the Bible. The story within the story within the story screams out, I love you. I will do anything to bring you back to me. Sally Lloyd-Jones in the Storybook Bible phrases it well. I am the never stopping, never giving up Father who loves you. How will your rescue story end? In our favorite rescue stories, the lost or taken leave with the rescuer, but it is their choice. You choose the end. Will you be rescued? Will you become part of the story within a story and join this rescue party until we reach the final celebration? I pray you say yes to the rescuer today. And now, may the God who loves you more than you can ever imagine, the God who has rescued you, be with you this week and throughout your journey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.